We had hoped. Those words, when I read that scripture, always ring so hauntingly true that we had hoped. What oxygen is to the lungs, hope is the meaning of life. And this is the human condition that we live in. It's always we are trying to reach out to hope in something. We are always trying to reach out. As you listen to the video, you heard people that didn't even follow Jesus. Yeah, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Jesus, but I pray every day. Sometimes my counselor isn't enough. Sometimes just talking to people isn't enough because there is something in us that needs to reach out to something more. And we carry questions like these people. What is life? What is my purpose? Is there a God? What is it to live the good life? Am I doing it right? And we build our hopes that bring success. We put hopes in the level of our skills. Men in the room, right? If I can't fix it, I'm going to learn how to fix it. I'm going to be the hope in that situation. I'm going to YouTube it. I'm going to get the skill sets to bring about that reality. My job, my finances, my insurances, my family, I put my hope in. I put my hope even in my health. That I hope that I'm well enough to keep working, to keep communicating, to keep doing what I'm doing. And yet we hold these hopes very carefully because we feel that they're very fragile. When a funeral happens or where we lose a lost one, suddenly realities come crashing into our lives that this world and this life is very fragile. And we once again hold things very tenderly. These two people that are walking on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and the unknown person, which when it's unknown, we get to put ourselves into the story. Who have hoped in Jesus, the Messiah, the prophet, the one that was going to change everything, their hopes died when Jesus died. Their hope for redemption failed and disappeared into nothingness. And instead, this felt condition of disappointment filled their hearts. Disappointment is to mean to reappoint what you had thought before. And we do this as well because losing hope hurts. Losing hope hurts. Hope is actually linked to your dopamine. So we all know what dopamine is. It's that good feeling, right? And we are thrill seekers. We are pleasure seekers. And we want to get all the dopamine that we can get every single moment, every single day. And hope is linked to dopamine. It remembers the moments of joy in your life. Maybe your celebrations, birthdays, parties. When you see that certain friend, all your dopamines kick into action because that friend brings hope into your life. And suddenly that's why you smile when you see that friend across the room. It remembers moments, and so it begins to predict moments. That's why you're anticipating, like Christmas for a lot of people, we get excited. My children today are excited, not always for the reasons I want them to be excited for. They know there's an Easter egg, I'm calling them out in front of them today. They're upstairs normally, so I've got to be careful. They love the Easter egg hunt. They love the things that are associated with it. Their dopamine is telling them there is something good, get excited. But it also happens when we lose hope. We actually, as we get a double shot of the fulfillment, so when you actually get the gratification, so when my wife makes sticky toffee pudding, I have, yeah, and some people have tasted of the goodness, and that is the testimony of goodness. But I have a double goodness. I know it's good, and then I taste that it's good. I love people coming over because I'm always suggesting the dessert. So if you come over, it's sticky toffee pudding. I'm sorry, that's my fault. I'm excited and I receive it. It's a double whammy of shots. But it is also when we lose hope. Because life doesn't always turn out the way that we want it. People fail. We had hoped in a good diagnosis, but it didn't happen. We hoped for that job, but it didn't happen. We hoped for a better marriage, but it hasn't happened. We hoped that a son or daughter would come back, but they haven't. Because losing hurts worse. When we had expectation that there was something good going to happen. When we had put our hope into something, it is way worse when it doesn't turn out the way that we actually wanted. And that's why me as a Tottenham fan in this room, and no one really watches the Premier League apart from Josh, so he gives me a hard time once in a while. But I feel the pain most weeks when I feel like they're going to do something. For you, the Steelers are a great reminder. We hope every year that something good will happen, and yet we are reminded of the pain every day. Losing hurts worse when we had an expectation. Psychologists actually call this reward prediction error. Parents just say, "Don't get your hopes up, son." And that's what we live in. Don't get your hopes up. Don't live in that space. Because we are hope-based creatures. We cannot stop setting hope or expectation. Because resilience is what we actually need for hope. Hope is the very breath that you breathe to go about your day. And so we need a form of resilience to actually overcome, to get up on a Monday morning when we don't want to get up. We have this resilience that says, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. But we often treat resilience a bit like wood. It's something that seems pretty strong. It's got solid and it's rigid in value. It's controlled. We know what it's all about. But when our hope comes into our world, it snaps and it breaks. But what often happens is that we don't do what resilience does, which is go back to normal. Instead, we don't repair the breaking. Instead, we reassess our hope and we make things smaller. And so we decide again when it breaks. Life has taught us that things don't work out. And so I make myself or my expectation as small as possible so it doesn't break anymore. But then it becomes even more. And so it becomes so small that we can't have hope in anything anymore. How's your hope today? Are you someone that has lost all hope and you feel like you've just got a piece that once was a full kind of stick that was hopeful about this world and yet it has been broken over and over again and now you live with a small expectation that this is all that life is ever going to amount to? This is the type of hope resilient that people live by. Now, I've also, wait a minute, it's on here. Thank you very much. Appreciate this. This is from my children. This is probably my favorite toy that I get to steal from them. This is a stress toy. This is a great toy. And this is what actually resilience should look like. Because resilience is to return back to the original form that it once was. It's to spring back to what it was designed to be. Now, I feel like stress toys are so wonderful, right? Because this is what we feel like life should be like. I can crush it as much as I ever want it to do, disfigure it, but eventually this thing will turn back to what it was always called to be. You can crush it, misshape it, but it will always turn back to its design, its shape. It has memory, it has purpose. And so today what we're saying is resilience is to remember. Resilience is to remember. It's to remember on the one hand what you are, but it's also to remember your very existence into that space. So it's to go back to remind ourselves, as we do on Easter Sundays, to remind ourselves so that we can remember, we can bring ourselves back to what we are called to do. We'll use that a bit later on. And so I want to ask you a question today. Think in your mind, what truths do you return to? What truths do you return to? When things begin to look scary, bad, anxieties fall, what truth do you often return to? Is it the message, it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way, this is just the way things are? Do you have that kind of expectation of hope that as soon as things begin to crush you, you begin to think, well, this is just the way it is? What do you build your truths on? Because the reality is, what you build your truth on, you will always return back to. You always return back to that truth. Because hope is not to be rigid or certain. If we create these rigid hopes of my certainty, my control, we will break all the time and we will just become fractured pieces of hope. We need a resilient hope that knows who we are to return back to who we're called to actually be. We need hope that is not rigid, but it is remembering in a person that is Jesus, an event, resurrection, transforming material. And so let's just work our way back through the passage that we have today in Luke chapter 24. I encourage you, if you have your Bibles, open them up, turn your Bibles on, because it's really good to read along. And also it gives you a great excuse to hop on Facebook and look like you're reading your Bible as well. So if you have a Bible, I do encourage you, church, bring your Bible along. Don't just trust what I'm saying. Like, actually read along for yourselves and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you. And so in this verse 21, we're just going to carry on this story that we have read. This scene, two people are walking away from Jesus. And Jesus has done the sneaky, don't know whether he's got some cool disguises or whatever, and he's managed to show up and then be completely unrecognizable to them. And so Jesus being Jesus is acting all oblivious, which I think is really cool. And they start this in verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes. And besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women, because God came to women first to declare the gospel, amen, women. Little more amen in the house, thank you. You are the gospel bringers. Of company amazed us. And they were at the tomb early in the morning, because guys were still sleeping. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels. And it was said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as it was, as the women that had said, but in him they did not see. I think it's interesting for these people that they had given their lives to Jesus. These people, we don't fully know their relationship with them, but they had given their lives, followed the ministry, and they had been with Jesus, and they were met with this soul-crushing despair. Have you ever, remember, bring back that memory in this moment of where you had expectation, all the joy in the world, and it was completely stolen from you. It was like the air was sucked out of your lungs, and you just had nothing. You were numb. It was maybe that job, that relationship, that thing where they had made the promise, and it completely failed. And you're just left reflecting, not able to feel a thing. This is the story that we jump into on Resurrection Day. They were met with soul-crushing moment. They had heard even of the hope that these women had actually seen an angel or some had met Jesus. And yet to them, it was just a conspiracy theory. All my friends who are conspiracy theorists in the room, I'm sorry. They are conspiracy. It seems like a conspiracy. That can't be true. That feels so wayward. There is no way that that could happen. There's no way that that could happen. They'd walked with him, and now they're walking away to Emmaus. What I love is that God doesn't write in the sky, "Hey, I'm risen." He doesn't just suddenly raise up in the air, because this is what I would have done, right? After resurrection, would have raised like out of a Marvel action, just raised up into the air. Guys, I did it. Joke's on you. I won. That's what we would want to happen. But Jesus doesn't do this. did God care for these people? Yeah, 100%. He didn't write it in the sky, but he walked with them. He just before had met Mary at the tomb, who was crying, and he consoled Mary. Now, again, I think this is incredibly inefficient of Jesus. If I want to spread the gospel, I want to tell the masses really quickly. Yet God has a different story where he meets people in their brokenness. He walks alongside them, not even revealing himself right away. How many of you have a hard time keeping secrets? Bunch of liars in the room. This is great. No one raising their hands. I would be like itching to like give little nudges, little winks, like little show of the hand and not showing the hand. Like I would be like having fun with these guys. Jesus had no concern to actually show himself in any way. He kept them guessing all the way. But what I love what Jesus does is he creates space for these guys to release their anger. And this is the truth today, because love comes close enough to know. Jesus' love comes close enough to really know your heart, to know you're broken. The risen God man, raised to life, he continued to stoop down and stay down low. He didn't change his narrative of not being a servant. He came down low to serve those. And Jesus still stands with us today in our suffering, in our celebration, in the in-between. He stands. Because Jesus' heart is to create space to release all their disappointment. And this is what it is like for when we squish the pressure inside of ourselves. It's like there is a constant stress upon your life and you just feel like a kind of disfigured panda. We'll just have this today. You feel like something's just disfigured and it's like, what on earth is my life going to be? How on earth can I just keep going? We kind of function in this pressured life of just trying to hope in a really small way from all the lies. And Jesus wants to create release. What I love about Jesus is that he took all these things of like, why are you so sad? He knew why they were so sad. Do you not know? Yeah, actually, I know way more than you even know. That was the irony in everything that was happening. But he had the invitation of, tell me. Jesus loves honesty. Tell me what you're going through. I don't know. He acts oblivious. Just says, tell me your story. Because if you want to have healing in your life, if we want to have resilient hope, God says you've got to release the pressure that you are under because you are not self-resilient. The gospel is not self-resilient. We need to be Jesus-resilient. And we need to be people that daily give our burdens and our problems to Jesus. In the Lord's Prayer, it says that we know that he is our daily bread. It says, deliver us from evil. This is a daily prayer that we need provision and protection from God. But how often do we, let's be honest, start our day saying, God, I need you? Most of the time we think the world needs us. So I answer my text message. I answer my email. I say, what does the world need? Because I am the answer. And the gospel says, you are just crushing yourself with more burdens, with more pressures. And the resilient gospel says, I want to release you from those burdens. And I want you to tell me your problems. I want you to release your anger onto me. Jesus loves spiritual honesty. I think it's really sad that one of the people says, I do not pray to a God who does not speak. And so many of us have that reality that we don't actually believe that God speaks today. We don't actually believe that he ministers, that he is actually resurrected. And we just take everything on ourselves. And every time I hear that interview with that one guy, I do not pray to a God who does not listen, who does not speak. My heart breaks because that is the Father's heart. He wants to release you, but it takes trust to release something so vulnerable. As we carry on in the story today, verse 25, and he says this, And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophecies have spoken. It's a wonderful little Jesus nudge of just like, wake up. Live above the fog that you're in. What is not necessary? Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all of the scriptures to things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is now spent. And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. We cannot be profoundly comforted by things that we do not know. And these Sunday mornings, we need to be reminded of the biblical truth, the true story of the gospel, because we live under many different stories. The story of my past, the story of the media, the stories of future anxieties that are filling our minds. And Jesus is saying to us plainly, stop being foolish. Stop living under the fog and listen to the true story that I want to bring to you today. And the funny part is, it wasn't done your way. It's like, didn't you know that the Christ had to suffer? I know that you wanted the gospel of just like ever upwards, where I would become power and authority. Because the scary thing, or not scary, but interesting thing is that Jesus died and rose again, and Rome still existed. Jesus didn't crush Rome straight away. It was the love that turned Rome over. It was a slow permutation that broke the yoke of Rome. God doesn't do things the way that you want him to do. And that's a surrendering that we've got to get comfortable to. But I love what Jesus did. He took the story that they knew, the law and the prophet, all of the Old Testament, and re-storied their story. Starting maybe with, and I, as a pastor, I would have loved to have listened to this message. Jesus, over a couple of hours, reveal himself through all of Scripture. Now, I don't know about you, that would have been really helpful because it caused these people to change direction. Often I'm like, man, what was those words? Was it the seed of Eve that he received? He was like, I am the seed. Was it when he talked about Abraham and Isaac, that he is now the ram, that he said, I am the Passover lamb that had to die. Now you are free from Egypt. Maybe it was that he was the manna in the desert. Maybe he was the true suffering king that Isaiah talked about, the Redeemer. Regardless of what he did, the story has changed, Jesus is saying. The story was once, we can't, and now the story is, we can because of Jesus. Forgiveness for the enemy, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness, life instead of death. Thank you for the amens in the room. Amen. Paul, a follower of Jesus, will say it this way. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. This is the new story. All the promises of the Old Testament, yes in Christ. He will say later on a couple of verses, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are now a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Jesus says, I am the provision. He illuminated in Scripture, and then he brought about the action as he broke the bread. Now, this couple wouldn't have been in the upper room when they saw the breaking of bread. They didn't know what communion was, but they remembered the story of the 5,000. The story of the 5,000, that Jesus was the provision. And suddenly their eyes were opened. They suddenly realized their stories had been restored. That once they had a past, they had a name, they had a problem, and God had shifted it 180 and changed their story forever. That's what illuminated their eyes. It was Scripture and an experience. It was the words of God and an experience of the Holy Spirit that changed everything. I want to take a moment just to share with you from Alpha one of the stories It's a little 4-minute video of someone's story that was radically changed by the hope of Jesus.
I got in with the wrong crowd, and I started to pinch cars, burgle houses, become known, me and my friends become known as very high profile thieves, really. I used to carry big knives, the big knives to the smaller knives down my waist, and I was the kind of person where if you pulled a knife out, I would use it. I ended up stabbing someone in the head. I ended up stabbing someone just missing his heart and going through the top of his shoulder, the top of his chest and his shoulder way. He dropped to the floor, and so I was on the run for 2 attempted murders. And then I was just, when I went to prison, I had such a hatred for the system, and I couldn't handle being told what to do, couldn't handle prison officers mucking me about. When I went out on association, I got to prison officer and I stabbed him. And then this led to me going into maximum security prisons, being put on CSC. It's where they feed you through a hatch in the door. There's no physical contact, so they have to have riot shields and riot gear on. And that was my life for a long, long time, basically. And I just was going from prison to prison, prison to prison. But then I ended up going to Long Larton in Worcestershire. And when I was in there, I ended up going in an Alpha course. Never heard of an Alpha course, didn't know anything. And I just remember walking in because they'd sent me down. I sat down on a chair and I thought, oh no, it's a Christian thing. And we'd just go there every week and I would argue. And the pastor, I remember he come to me. He said, right, I'm going to say a few scriptures first before we pray. And one of them was, no one's righteous, not one. We all fall short of the glory of God. And then he said the verses about Jesus and explained a bit why he died on the cross for sinners and stuff. And then he said, pray. So I started praying and I said, God, if you're real, come into my life because I hate who I am. And nothing happened. But then, as I was talking to the pastor, I started to feel this energy feeling in my stomach. And it started to raise up and raise up and raise up and raise up. And I just broke out into uncontrollable tears. And I just sobbed. And I just... right there. Because that was a change of my whole life. I knew God was real. And no one will change that now. And then I remember running on the wing. People clearly knew that I would become a Christian. So I actually helped them on another 2 Alpha courses. And then I got released. I've been in a prison where I... because you would have thought that the prison where I stabbed the prison officers would have been the last prison to have me. But they were the first. That's how God works. The best thing for me is going in prisons and helping the lads in prison and trying to tell them about God. I've got 4 kids and they're my life. And what upsets me is because now I know that back then, if I had the kids, they wouldn't have had a good upbringing. And now they sit on the night and have Bible studies with their dad. A Bible study with a dad, have a life, a beautiful, and my life, and this probably is my wife and my kids are the best gift, that, apart from the grace God's given me, is the best gift he'll ever give me.
Didn't expect to cry like that. Recovered now.
Amen. And I love Shane's story, and just because the accent is very difficult to hear, but he was someone who was who got in the wrong crowd, stabbed someone in the chest, went to prison, while in prison was angry at the prison guards, and ended up stabbing a prison guard as well. And in that anger went into maximum security, separated from God. But isn't it amazing that prayer that he prayed, God, if you're there, do you reveal yourself because I don't like who I am? And that's a story for many of us. There are parts of us that we don't like who we are. We don't know what to do to change ourselves. And the invitation that Jesus is saying, you don't have to do it alone. I want to come alongside you. I want to release you of the pressure that you're on, but I want to restore you. I want to make you not someone who's rigid. I want to make you someone who is pliable. I want you to put your trust in me, and I want to restore you. I want to release you and cause you to be who God called you to be. Not who the world called you to be, but who God called you to be. So we carry on the story and we land here today in this passage. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose. Get hold of this. They rose. These people who were dead to their hopes have now been resurrected to a new dream and a new hope. And they rose that same hour. Now, we don't know where Emmaus is, actually, and they didn't get there. So what happens in that same moment, that same evening, they run back to where they once were. They return to Jerusalem, the pain, the shame. And they found the 11 and these who were with them and gathered together saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Which is funny, they highlight Simon after the one who doubted. And when they told what had happened on the road and how it was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So if we want to be people that are resilient in hope, we've first got to be people who release. We've got to be people that release to God and not be self-resilient people. We've got to be people who are restored, that we don't live in the story of our old lives, but we live into the story of the new, and we return back. Today, for you, it's that challenge that we always have. Will you return back to God? For you who are Christians in the room today, will you be someone that wants to return back to you? See, spirituality and following Jesus is not just saying a prayer. Hey, I made a decision, and now I'm just going to try and be a really good person. That's not following Jesus. Jesus' invitation to us is, if you want to follow me, and that's what it means to be a Christian, by the way, not just a prayer, not just an altar call, it means that you have to be in proximity to the one who saved you. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, your execution vessel. So not only deny yourself, but die to your old self, the old story, and you've got to pick up that new story every single day. It means giving up the things that you hoped in. Because maybe there's a reality that you are hoping in the wrong things. Or you had your trust in the wrong things. And so we get to return back to our Jerusalems. That's what returning and resilience does. It doesn't keep you held in the shadows. No, it brings you back to the truth of where you were once in pain, once in shame. That's the gospel. So we're getting bored. Okay, we'll wrap this up right now. Heard this before, Johnny. So why aren't we living it, church? Why isn't this room full of people, full of joy? If you really believe this, I believe this room would look very different. I believe our lives would look very different. Washington would be transformed. I'm speaking to myself as well, because we don't live this. We need to release more. We need to understand the story we live in. And we need to return back to the things that we have said God couldn't do anymore. God can do it through your life, but he wants your amen. He wants your agreement in all of this. See, Easter was when hope in a person surprised the world. And I'll land with this today, and I just want to invite the team up today to lead us in a song as we close out today. We are on a journey of returning to God. Jesus resurrected here on earth. Look at me right now in the room. I just want your attention for a moment because this is really, really important. I want you to know this. Jesus resurrected in person. He didn't resurrect to heaven. He resurrected first to earth. That means that our gospel, our hope, is not for the one day alone. Yes, we have an eternal hope. But that means that Jesus resurrected here and now is because hope is on hand right now. There is an opportunity for you to have hope right now. Not the one day, but actually transformation can happen today for your life if you choose to surrender. That's the invitation. Do you want to keep walking your road to Emmaus? Do you want to keep walking away from God's plan and destiny in your life? Or do you want to actually let the words of life, the journey of following Jesus, take hold of you and bring you back to Jerusalem? For many of you, you're wandering away from Jerusalem, the calling on your life. And God is knocking on your door and he is saying, would you come be with me and let's journey back to your promise? Exactly. I will keep going, Josiah. I will keep going. Because this is my heart as a pastor, is that we are living below the line. We are living people with rigid hope. And every time it snaps, we just make our hope smaller. We don't increase our size. We don't let God bring about a new resilience inside of us that says, maybe that wasn't my story. Maybe that marriage not working or that relationship not working. God has a renewal plan. He will reuse the broken things in your life and he will bring about transformation. Would you let him into your life today? Because the resurrection happened on earth. The resurrection, the body of Christ came and renewed on this earth, which means renewal is for today. Your spiritual impact is for today. The Holy Spirit inside of you is for today. And now we just want to have a response of that. So would you stand today? Just maybe with your eyes closed today and just in a posture of surrender, would you put your hands out before you today? Put your hands out before you today, just in a posture of surrender. Because as much as I can convey a message, whether really good or really badly for you, what I do know is that the Holy Spirit that is in this room can do far more than ever think, dream, or imagine. So in your heart today, what do you need resurrected today? Is it faith in Jesus? Are you someone that does not know the gospel, does not know Jesus? You can honestly say, I don't know him, but actually I'm tired of trying to make hope work in my life by myself. And I want to make hope work in Jesus today. Maybe that's you today. And I want to create invitation for you today to be bold as we've been talking about walking. And maybe for you today, would you walk forward today in front of this space, this front row here, as a declaration that I'm walking back in the way. You might not have it together, but there's an opportunity. I want you to be bold, not just raise your hand, but actually to be someone that says, I want to follow Jesus. And it's going to look like denying yourself, that feeling of insecurity, that feeling of like, oh, no, everyone's going to look at me. Yeah, they are. It's great. We've all done it and we're all doing it. We all need to realistically walk forward every single day because God is the hope that we have. So maybe you need something resurrected today. Maybe Christian in this room, you've got unresolved disappointment. You haven't given it to God, disappointment. You haven't given that unresolved disappointment and you've got illusions about Jesus which he has not met. And God is wanting to disillusion you. He's wanting to remove that illusion from your life and create a concrete foundation of Jesus Christ in your life. So we invite hearts that have lost hope and need to be healed today. Do you want to be restored and put back on mission and purpose today? Are you tired of living in the blasé comfortability where everything is just half and half? Or do you want to make a decision today to say, I'm going to make a walk forward back to Jerusalem? I've walked to my Emmaus and I need to walk back to Jerusalem today. And I would encourage